today's audiocast from AvWeb, the Internet's general aviation news service and magazine for this Monday, December 3rd, 2007, is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. In a recent AvWeb audiocast, we spoke with aviation analyst Richard Abelofia, whose consistent message has been that very light jets and the air taxi business they are helping to spawn will not be the market explosion that some are claiming. Well, as you might expect, there are some differing opinions on that topic, and Joe Leader, president of the Air Taxi Association, is one of the industry's prominent spokesmen. He spoke with AvWeb's Russ Niles from VLJ West, a forum for owners and operators of the new jets held recently in San Diego.
You have some counterpoints to Richard's, I understand.
Absolutely, I do. The air taxi business is really ramping up incredibly in the United States, and the members of the Air Taxi Association have all pointed to their next generation business models and low cost of operating aircraft as pivotal to their success. In the AvWeb podcast last week, Richard Abelofia brought up some points that really looked at the glass as more than half empty, since he served as a key role in the past few years as a vocal industry naysayer. And I say that with respect, since I cited him extensively in my PhD research on very light jets and air taxis. No one has ever said that the VLJ or air taxi revolution would be a nationwide, overnight phenomenon. But we're off to an incredible start in 2007, and a revolution starts from key points and expands in an evolutionary manner. We've gone from last year, where there was the very first light jet deliveries in 2006, to the 175 VLJs that industry-neutral PMI Media estimated at the beginning of last year in their Very Light Jet 2007 to 2016 report. And for 2008, that same industry-neutral source gave a perspective stating that there'll be 638 VLJ deliveries, which would take us to an incredible aircraft manufacturing level. Yet there's a key point that Ed Iacobucci from DayJet underlined here yesterday at VLJ West that I strongly believe in. It's not just about the very light jet. It's really about the new air taxi business model.
Well, what is the new air taxi model? I mean, air taxis are nothing new. They've been around for decades.
Absolutely, they have. And I think that the change in business model, if you look across our different operators, you're seeing how they're breaking into a price point, into a market arena that they've never been able to serve before. At VLJ West, the Air Taxi Association operators have said that their business is booming with ramping success. The easiest items to point to that I want to share with your listeners, there's public announcements made by Ed Iacobucci that DayJet's expansion from its 5-day ports to 20 last week in Florida has effectively tripled their business. That's using the same number of aircraft. And he announced also at VLJ West deadhead legs of less than 29%. And that's a long, very effective aircraft utilization, both per aisle, per hour, and per mile. Their all-in operational cost for the Eclipse 500, he announced at the conference, is under $400. And I found that incredible, especially given the rise in fuel prices that we've all seen. In addition, as DayJet initially predicted, almost all of their customers have come from the roads and into the open sky.
Okay, wait a minute, Joe. It costs me $60 to $70 an hour to fly my Cessna 140. You're telling me that I can fly a jet for $400 an hour?
Their all-in costs, as stated yesterday, are under $400 an hour for the Eclipse 500.
Well, that's remarkable.
Yeah, okay. I really believe that it is. And they also pointed to to how people utilize and value their time in utilizing the DayJet system, with their typical passenger valuing their time based on the windows they pick at $50 to $60 per hour, all the way up to their highest tier customers that value their time as much as $175 per hour. So they're, I think the industry naysayers that doubted in DayJet's successful implementation of a theoretical model will look back and say, wow, they've really achieved some key benchmarks very early on in the game. And I was very proud of DayJet making those announcements here at VLJ West.
What about the equipment? One of the things that PMI pointed out is that we don't know how inexpensive, mass-produced aircraft are going to stand up to the rigors of what is essentially airline service.
Thus far, the two Air Taxi Association companies have pointed publicly that the Eclipse 500 has met and exceeded their expectations on that front. And Linear Air also announced, the other Eclipse 500 operator, that now has the Eclipse 500 on their 135 certificate announced the upcoming edition of their second, and it's been enthusiastically received by their customers that have traditionally flown on their Grand Caravan aircraft. One of the other things, speaking of aircraft reliability and the use of the Eclipse 500 and very light jets, Imagineer shared that they discussed with the audience how they'd make the most efficient use of the Eclipse 500 along their Cirrus SR-22s, working to send the right aircraft on the right stage length missions. But the one thing that I also found impressive that's much better than the traditional charter industry is that Imagineer's deadhead legs are less than 40% with very successful air taxi operations since they launched just over 6 months ago. So I'm very heartened to hear so many great points of light brought up at this conference. Sats Air really underlined SageJet's comments about the majority of their passengers coming off the road and into the air. But Sats Air also shared that their business has matured and that they've seen a shift from almost all business travelers to today having 20% of their passengers be leisure travelers. And from a next-generation air taxi perspective, that shift is very healthy because it underlines the market education that allows operators to have a stronger portfolio of business.
What's the next milestone in the air taxi business? You've mentioned a few that have been met. What's going to happen in the next year, and how is that going to play out in years to come?
That's a great question. I think that you'll see, in 2008, you'll see us go through the full, beyond the early adopter stage, moving into 2009 into mass market acceptance of the next generation air taxi is a pivotal part of business travel in America and beyond. And I believe that the Air Taxi Association is now working on statewide efforts to really bring the education to a local level. For example, we announced at NBAA our work with the state of Virginia in unveiling local initiatives that allow, that will educate passengers about the air taxi companies they have to choose from and the efficiency of their time in choosing them. 10% of America's GDP is supported by aviation, and I look forward to the expansion of personal on-demand travel on a cost-friendly, fuel-efficient, and environmentally-minded next-generation aircraft across the United States. I really believe that you'll see in 2008 all of our air taxi companies reporting back with marked success and expanding across a wider and wider variety of aircraft.
Okay, well, the airlines aren't going to sit back and watch the air taxi industry take all of their business class customers. What is the airline reaction going to be?
I think that the airline reaction has thus far been a bit overstated, and it's been overstated because the very light jet distance, the ideal distance for these aircraft to fly are micro-regional airlines where they're not going to directly compete with the majority of commercial airlines. You're looking at a passenger base that's willing to pay a price premium for their time and to go a very short leg length where they're not going to want to stand 2 hours to wait to get to the gate to board their aircraft and go through the shenanigans that are required. They really want to get to their end destination quickly and efficiently, and they've been choosing driving. This, since DayJet and Sats Air and Imagineer and others have all stated that the majority of their customers come from driving, I think that everyone will look to that as market expansion and net positive. I've been impressed thus far that we have, It's not cannibalizing on traditional markets. It's genuinely expanding it. And so long as it continues to expand while more and more Americans fly, I don't think the airlines will see an impact at all.
As we mentioned earlier, you're doing your PhD dissertation on the air taxi business. Tell us a little bit about that and tell us when we'll be able to have a look at it.
Certainly. My PhD dissertation is entitled Takeoff Velocity, the Air Taxi and VLJ Impact on the Future of Business Travel, where I examine the emerging marketplace from a neutral perspective, showing how education and traveler behavior can be effectively changed in an accelerated manner. It will be available early next year via retailers online, including Amazon.com, Amazon.com UK, Borders, Target, Walden Books, and of course at our website, ATXA.com. And one other mention on that is that the Air Taxi Association is completely revamping its communities section. And on December 15th, we're opening membership beyond our next generation air taxi companies so that people that want to participate in the growth and the excitement in the next generation air taxi world can as registered users or in our general membership program that we'll be unveiling on December 15th.
Well, as always, we'll be watching it closely and listening to all voices on the topic. So thanks for your time today, Joe.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Joe Leader, president of the Air Taxi Association. Today's audiocast was brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention. Comments on today's audiocast welcome audio news at avweb.com. Look for our next audiocast on Friday, December 7th. I'm Mike Blakeney, reporting for Avweb Audio. Thanks for listening.